transformed emotional health. The patient's family gathered in hospital to hear what the specialist had to say. Things didn't look good. The only chance of survival was a brain transplant. It would be an experimental procedure. It just might work. But the bad news is, of course, brains are very expensive. And, of course, the patient would have to pay the costs themselves. The relatives who were gathered there said, well, how much does a brain cost? And the surgeon replied, well, for a male brain, £500,000. For a female brain, £200,000. Well, the female relatives looked shocked. But of course, the males, they all nodded, they understood. Then the patient's daughter asked, why the difference in price? Why are male brains so much more expensive than female brains? The surgeon replied, a standard pricing practice. Women's brains have to be marked down because they are used. Now, ladies, that's one you're getting this week, but I don't guarantee it next week, okay? Men and women are different in so many ways. And especially when it comes to showing emotions. And let's face it, men and women are very different. There's a best-selling book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which tries to spell out the differences between men and women. But those sort of books have to generalise because we are individuals. Not every woman fits the stereotype. Not every man fits the stereotype when it comes to emotions and showing our emotions and being ruled by our emotions. And when it comes to emotions, well, emotions are both complicated and complex. They are mysterious and mystifying. And even the experts are not sure what causes us to experience emotions. Both social science and neurobiology have tried, but to no avail, to explain the origin of our emotions. And as for Christians, emotions can be troubling, frustrating, and untrustworthy. Some emotions seem deeply spiritual, and other emotions seem, well, outright sinful. Our emotions are often both a blessing and a curse. And it's not just that men and women who are emotionally different. Men and men can be poles apart emotionally, and women and women can be poles apart emotionally. And as Christians, we too can be very different emotionally. Some believers are very emotional in the way that they express their worship, in the way they live their lives, in their relationships. And others are the complete opposite. But there is one common denominator for all Christians. We are called to express our emotions in our relationship with God. We are called to express our emotions in our relationship with God. What is it the scripture says? We may be all different, but we are all called to love the Lord our God, what? With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind, as well as loving our neighbour. The most important commandment is to love God with everything. Everything. That will involve our full-on emotions. God wants a fervent relationship with his people. Not just an intellectual one, but he wants to touch our very being, our very core. Love him with your heart. Your heart. When the Bible refers to the heart, it rarely means that important organ that sends blood around the body. The heart usually means the core of the person, the inner person. It denotes the centre of a person, where physical, emotional, mental decisions are made. And to paraphrase the words of Jesus, he just says, love God with everything you've got, including those emotions. When Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took his men to the cliffs of Dover, and he got them to look over the cliffs of Dover, and they were shocked by what they saw. All the boats they had travelled over on were set afire and burning. And the message Caesar gave his soldiers was this: no retreat. You can't retreat. Your boats are burned. You must advance and conquer. And of course, that's exactly what the Romans did. Now, you and I, in our commitment, in our love for God, maybe there are some boats we need to burn so that we can advance and conquer. Now, I want to share certain things about emotions today. Here's some positive things that we should know. First of all, emotions are characteristics of God. Emotions are attributes of God. God has a feeling. God is a passionate being. He feels sorrow. He feels anger. He feels jealousy. He even hates. And of course, God is love. God loves his creation and he has compassion for humankind. And if God was not a God of love, there would be no love in this world. And you and I are made in the image of God. Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make man in our own image." And whatever that expression or term means, image, the simple answer, it means like God. Like God. You and I, we have creativity like God. We have intellect like God. We have a moral compass like God. And we have emotions like God. And don't ever forget, one of the great character traits of Jesus was his emotions. George Walter Hanson writes this: "I am spellbound by the intensity of Jesus' emotions. Not a twinge of pity, but heartbroken compassion. Not a passing irritation, but terrifying anger. Not a silent tear, but groans of anguish. Not a weak smile, but ecstatic celebration." Jesus' emotions are like a mountain river cascading with clear water. My emotions are more like muddy foam or a feeble trickle. Hey, we have an emotional God. We are made in his image, therefore we are emotional beings. So first of all, emotions are attributes of God. Secondly, emotions are a gift from God. Emotions are a gift from God. It might not always seem like the ability to have emotions is a gift from God, but it is. They are a tremendous asset. Even at times, they might seem like a tremendous burden. I don't know how many of you are Trekkies. I don't know how many of you have enjoyed the films or watched the TV series, Star Trek. But there's one character called Mr. Spock. And Mr. Spock is a Vulcan. He's an alien, a Vulcan. He looks human in every sense. He has a big difference, of course. His ears are pointed. But of course, as Mr. Spock is in the series, there's one thing he hasn't got: emotions. Everything is intellect. It's logical or it's not logical. And Captain James Kirk is always teasing him about the fact he's got no emotions. It's kind of a running joke throughout the series. Now listen, you and I are not Vulcans, even though Mr. Fielder's ears might be a bit pointed. All right, we are not Vulcans. We are not humanoids. We are not robots. We are human beings. Our emotions are a gift of God. They enable us to be God-like. Kind, faithful, loyal, generous, courageous, tender, caring. Why? Because they're programmed in us to be God-like. Here's the third thing to note about emotions in a positive way. Be aware that emotions can lead us to extremes. Emotions can lead us to extremes. There are always two extremes to avoid. One extreme is called emotionalism, and the other is called stoicism. Emotionalism, stoicism. Let me define them for you. Emotionalism, a definition: it's when feeling becomes all that matters. Feelings dictate the choices you make, how you live, how you act, what you chose to do. Doesn't matter if it's right and wrong, but if it feels right, I'll do it anyway. Doesn't matter if God says in his word, don't do it. If it feels natural and it feels right and it's going to make me happy, why not do it? We've all been there at times when it comes to certain choices. We know God has said no, but we do it anyway. Why? Because it feels natural. That's because we're sinful creatures. We need to have emotions, but we also need to avoid extremism. Otherwise, as the song says, there will be trouble ahead. When we allow, thank you, John. When we allow our emotion, you can buy my latest CD at the back of the church, okay? No checks, just cash. When we are ruled by our emotions, there will be trouble ahead. What is stoicism? That's the opposite of being ruled by your emotions. That is engaging intellect only, spot-like. Stoics believe feelings, well, they're immaterial. They can be suppressed or pushed to one side. They just complicate the important stuff and get in the way. The only thing that truly matters is how we think, our reason, our will. And so Stoics tend to not express their feelings, perhaps suppress them. Let me give you an illustration of how emotionalism and Stoicism affects what we do. 20 years ago, one way I've noticed a change in people over the last 20 years. When I grew up, I was taught you chose the church you attended by your intellect, by your mind. It was a Stoic approach. You looked at the church. What was their leadership structure? Was it biblical? Did they have elders? Did they have a vicar? Did they have a pastor? Tick the box for the right choice. What was their practice? Did one person at the front do it all, or did they believe in what we call the priesthood of all believers? Every member ministry. Tick the box. What was their theology? Were they Reformed? Were they Pentecostal? Were they charismatic? Were they evangelical? Tick the box. And then when you look at the church that ticked the most boxes, that's what you went to because it was theologically sound. That's what I was taught growing up. You chose your church by your intellect, by your mind. These days when I chat to folks and say, why do you go to that church? Often I hear, because I like music. It makes me feel good. It helps me worship. The emphasis so often these days is how I feel, not how I think. Now actually, both are extremes. We choose our church, of course we want to enjoy it. Of course it's got to touch our hearts. But it also needs to be theologically sound. But just going to a church that is theologically sound, that doesn't touch our emotions, well, you might as well go to a college or a library. Because all it is education you're getting every week. Someone's explaining the Bible and you're leaving smarter. But it's not touching your heart. It's not touching your emotions. It's not touching your will. Now, here at Duncan Row, we might not have achieved it, but we want to touch your mind and teach the scriptures. We want to make you intellectually wiser. But not just that, we want to touch your heart. As a preacher, I am battling for your will every Sunday and encouraging you to give the Lord all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, everything you've got. I'm not a lecturer, I'm a preacher. You know the difference. Someone has defined a lecturer in this way. The art of transferring information from the notes of the lecturer to the notes of the students without passing through the minds of either. That's a lecture. I hope I never hear the words said of this church about a preacher. The art of transferring information from the notes of the preacher to the notes of the congregation with ever passing through their hearts. Lecturers are people who deal in facts and information. Preachers are battling for the soul and the will of their congregation. And my job as a preacher is to touch your heart as well as your mind. But you have to cooperate. It's not one way, it is two way. It is two way. Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish theologian, hit the nail on the head when he said this. Don't miss this one, it's a good one. People have an idea that the preacher is an actor on the stage, and they are the critics blaming or praising him. What they don't know is they are the actors on the stage. He, the preacher, is merely the prompter, standing in the wings, reminding them of their lost lines. Did you get that? My job as a preacher is to touch your heart as well as your mind. But you have to be willing to listen. You have to be willing to respond. You have to engage your emotions and your will and your mind. What else do we know about emotions? Well, again, another positive thing is this, that our emotions are made known. They are demonstrated. They are revealed throughout the book of Psalms. I would suggest that every emotion known to man can be found in the book of Psalms. No matter what your mood, there is a psalm that fits it. And what's striking about the Psalms is that they are brutally honest in their outpourings of emotion. They speak about the roller coasters of life. When times are good, they celebrate and rejoice. When life is bad, they express the heartache of loneliness, of depression, of isolation, of abandonment, of betrayal. They are more candid than what you hear on opera or any daytime TV show. Half of the Psalms are laments. They do deal with human sorrow and heartache and suffering. And that should tell us God wants to hear the hurt as well as the happiness that we experience. So, positive things about our emotions. Let's flip the coin. What are some of the negative things about our emotions? Well, let me give you three. First of all, feelings are so often unreliable. They are a blessing, but they can also be a curse. Feelings are often unreliable. This is what the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 12 says. There is a way which seems right to a man. All your feelings say, that's the way you go. But in the end, it leads to death. There is a way which seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Feelings are often unreliable. They can often lie to us. Let me illustrate it. Maybe you're in a crowd of people. You ever had that feeling? They're all talking about you. Doesn't mean they are, even though your feelings are saying they're all talking about how you're dressed. They're all talking about what this, that and the other. In our minds, we're feeling that, but actually, it's a lie. Or you may feel nobody understands you. But that doesn't mean they don't. You may feel you're misunderstood, unappreciated, even mistreated. But it doesn't mean it's true. Feelings are often unreliable. They often lie to us. And left unchecked, unrestrained, those feelings can lead us in the wrong direction. The story told an Aer Lingus flight was approaching London Heathrow Airport. The air traffic controller said to the pilot, "What's your height and position?" In a nice broad Irish accent, he said, "I'm 5'6" and I'm sitting up front." No. But apologies if you're Irish, it's only a joke. Listen, no aeroplane pilot should trust his instincts in a storm. What they have to do is trust their instrument panel. Because when that plane is being flipped around, they can easily get, touch of vertigo, disorientated. The ups and the downs can affect how they feel, but their instrument panel will always, always tell them the truth. And you and I will be jostled by the philosophies of this world. We will lose our sense of right and wrong if we just go on feelings. Hey, we all have an instruction manual, the Bible. We need to follow it. The unchanging Word of God. So first of all, feelings are often reliable. Secondly, feelings can manipulate us. They can influence you to do something you shouldn't do. If you don't control your emotions will control you. Proverbs 25:28 says, "A person without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls." A person without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. Many of you grew up singing that song, "Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down." And occasionally on a Friday, we'll sing that with the kids on a Friday night. Now, not a lot of people know this. Joshua Jericho is touted as the world's oldest city. It's believed to be 10,000 years old. And as my kids will testify, you get a very nice pizza in Jericho. And I think both my kids had a tattoo when they were there, but only a henna one. But here's the point. Jericho's claim to fame isn't you can get a tattoo and a pizza in the same restaurant. Its claim to fame isn't it's just the oldest city. Its claim to fame is it was a strong fortified city and those walls fell and they were conquered. That's its claim to fame in song, in hymn, in most people's understanding. And this proverb warns us, if we do not control our emotions, we are like a city and the walls have fallen down. And it's only a matter of time before the enemy attacks. And we are captured. We are captured. We are vulnerable. We are unprotected. Here's the third thing about feelings. Feelings can cause us to displease God. And that requires discipline. Feelings can cause us to displease God. Let me give you an illustration. If I only go to church when I feel like it, then half the time I'm not going to be here. Now, I don't know if that shocks you or surprises you. You know, just imagine you all turn up next week and I don't because I didn't feel like it. Actually, that often happens in reverse. I turn up every week and you're not here. If I only pray when I feel like it, I'm not going to pray a lot because half the time it's too much effort, so I'm not going to pray. If I only read my Bible when I feel like it, well, I might read it once a week. See, if we just go by our feelings, then laziness kicks in. And instead of pleasing God and making right choices, we will displease him by making wrong choices. So we have to conquer our emotions, or our emotions conquer us. I said there were three things, but you can add this one as a bonus. Feelings can so often cause us to fail in life. Our emotions or our feelings can so often cause us to fail in life. Proverbs 5:23 says, people get lost and die because of their foolishness and lack of self-control. Their foolishness and lack of self-control. If we don't show self-control when it comes to our emotions and our feelings, then we are lost. Edmund Hillary was the first man to conquer Mount Everest. He was asked by an interviewer about climbing mountains. This is what he said. It is not the mountain we conquer, it's ourselves. He'd never have conquered that mountain if he went on feelings alone. He'd have given up. Peter the Great of Russia is quoted as saying, I've been able to conquer an empire, but I've not been able to conquer myself. And Mark Antony, the silver-throated orator of Rome. He was a brilliant statesman, a strong leader, a courageous soldier, magnificent in battle, and he was handsome. The more you read about him, the more you hate him, fellas. But he so enraged his personal tutor that on one occasion, the tutor shouted into his face, O Marcus, O Colossus child, you're able to conquer the world, but unable to resist the temptation. No self-control. And Hugo Grotius, the Dutch jurist and scholar, said, a man cannot govern a nation if he cannot govern a city. He cannot govern a city if he cannot govern himself. And he cannot govern himself unless his passions are subject to reason. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks control, says Proverbs 25:28. Being able to manage and control our feelings determines are we successful in life or failures. So, emotions, they're a blessing and they're a curse. How do we summarise? How do we just draw to a conclusion? Two things. You see, if our emotions are a gift of God, when handled rightly, they enrich our lives. When handled wrongly, because we are flawed, sinful creatures, those passions will spoil our lives and put us on an emotional roller coaster. How can we be balanced so that we feel and we think, We have intellect, but we have feelings. We're not a stoic, we're not an emotionalist. Well, I've just got two things. And they're very simple, but you can pad them out in your house groups on Thursday. I've got talk to God. Talk to God. Ask him to fill you afresh with his spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. Why? Because the fruit of the spirit is what? Self-control. Self-control. What do I need when I handle my emotions? Self-control. Self-control is choosing what to do to when it's choosing what you should do, not what you want to do. And self-control is knowing you can, but deciding you won't. It's allowing your emotions to be restrained on a leash. Self-mastery. And that's like building walls that protect us, not allowing those walls to fall down so we can be conquered and invaded. So, simplistic terms, talk to God. Let him fill you afresh with his spirit, and the fruit of the spirit is self-control. And then I've got talk to a friend. Sometimes we can't see the flaws in our own character. We need someone to point them out. Being a married man, of course, I've got my wife who, on a regular basis, will pull me to one side and say, and sometimes she's right, and sometimes she's wrong. But we all need someone we can talk to. And if you're struggling in particular areas, have you got a friend on you can be honest enough to chat with? Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 says, better is an open rebuke from a friend than kisses from an enemy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend tells us what, not what we want to hear, but what the truth is. And we respect them for it. Do we have someone we can say, hey, am I out of check? Am I out of balance? I'm struggling here. They can talk to us. They can pray with us. They can give us some advice. So emotions, they're a blessing from God. They can also be a curse. Two suggestions. One, talk to God. Self-control is what we need. Talk to a friend. The advice of someone with skin on is always valuable. Let's pray.